All right.
We will call to order the Unified Development Ordinance Advisory Committee meeting for Thursday, August 18, 2022, 6:30. This meeting is being held in part online through Zoom via the governor's proclamation, which allows us to do so. We have myself in the room. We have Deb Horaz, Jeff Olson, Dave Schultz remote. And then we have staff. Hold 1 second, please. Dan, hey. Back door. Okay, I'll be.
Oh, good.
Nope. We'll let you. Hold on. All right, thanks. They were locked out back.
Minute taker and our fifth member.
Okay, so also now joining us is Alderman Transier and our minute taker, Marlis. So we do have an establishment, or we do have a forum established. Keep it going. We have a set of minutes from July 14, 2022. Any comments on those? If not, we will take those as presented. Moving on, we have no citizens in the room, no citizens online, so no citizens' comments. No need for introduction. Our first item, only item, is Chapter 8, the UDO review and approval procedures. And I have been warned that there are no graphics at all included in this one. So I'll turn it over to Jason to give a brief presentation.
Yeah, can I just get verification? Everyone can see the shared screen presentation?
Yep.
All right, so this will be pretty quick. So Chapter 8 is the review and approval procedures. Luckily, our committee here is made up of aldermen, some PZC members, and Dave, who is no stranger to the processes of the city. So we're just going to kind of go very quick over some of the major sections and some additions we've kind of changed. Most of our procedures have stayed the same, but we have added some language and a couple other extra things into this section. Let's see. There we go. And then just for clarification, this is also already how it is, but the zoning administrator is the community development director. The zoning officer is the build code official. This is already how it is labeled in our current code, but just in case as you're reading it, if sometimes it can get a little confusing, those are the two authorities on this section. Obviously, Christy is the zoning administrator, and then Pete Rados would be our zoning official. So 10.8.3 is the administrative review and action section. There was some added language for zoning review. Some of the language came from other parts of the code, but also kind of fleshed out how we already conduct our zoning review. It's kind of just codifying what we already do. Kind of describes how we go through and the things that are required, building permit or a site plan or anything really that requires zoning review, kind of just states we need at minimum these things. We did add a section for administrative station exception. So this is one of those things we're trying to keep the development process moving. It allows for the zoning administrator to make minor changes. There's some criteria in there, but it's mainly for small setback variances, so they don't have to go through an entire variance process for a foot or two, or maybe if their height was a little bit taller than need be. So again, it aims to eliminate any variance procedures that could take somebody that just wants to do something basic 3-4 months going through a variance process. Added lot consolidation and splits. This currently is under review by the city attorney. There is a state Plat Exemption Act that kind of dictates how you can subdivide land and when you need to go through a process and when you don't. So we're kind of reviewing this language with our attorney right now to make sure it's acceptable. But we did want to kind of mention it because it's not mentioned previously. And then we added some new language for temporary use permits. You know, more standards since we added kind of temporary uses into the land use table and development standards. This kind of gives that process with some criteria about the compatibility of the use, you know, traffic, operations, and some other things. Moving on to 10.8.4, this obviously outlines the different types of requests and notice standards. We are keeping this at the moment proposed as the same. So this covers special uses, variations, you know, final plat, subdivision procedures, and PUDs, and the appeal process, I believe, as well. Oh, one sec. I think we lost Dave. I think he's back now. Hey, Dave, you back?
Yeah, sorry, wrong button.
All right, no problem. So, and then again, I'll just go over these now, but there, I want to make sure I put them in the presentation as things we can go over. You know, I'll do my presentation. We can talk about them later, but, currently special uses are null and void after 3 years. If nothing is done, if no development is made on the progress of the requested special use, that's how it's written right now. The consultant wanted to know, in many communities they work in, it's 1 to 2 years. So that is just something we wanted to bring up and discuss with the committee to see if we want to keep it the way we have it now or reduce that. You know, if somebody comes in for a special use, we want them to actually do, they took the time and money to do it. And then also new regulations for the special use amendment. There's major and minor. This is very similar. We actually had not too long ago, GRNE was putting a solar farm down. They had a condition of permit. It said it needed to be a wood fence, but they needed a vinyl fence. We had to repeal the special use, and they had to go through the entire process all over again. The special use amendment process is also being reviewed by Kathy, our legal consult. But again, it was trying to say if there's minor things, it has criteria in there about what would be considered a minor change, as long as it didn't conflict with any of the conditions put on the special use. And then any major change would pretty much have to go through the same process again. So it's really just trying to, again, avoid any minor changes. Maybe we can do those administratively as opposed to going through a whole process again. Jumping up to 10.8.6. This was another question we were talking about, was the subdivision of land. Currently, like if someone wants to come in for a final plat, they go to Plan Council, EDC, Planning and Zoning Commission, and it's not a public hearing. There are no mailings sent out. It's just a public meeting. And then that recommendation goes to City Council. It is one of the only things we don't take for a public hearing. And again, the consultant was, is that something we want to start doing a public hearing, or is that too onerous? Should we just keep it the way it is? So we can get to that as well. They've also kind of clarified any subdivision of or consolidation of 3 or less lots would just be a simple, you know, you wouldn't have to require that process. Anything 4 to 10 would be considered a minor subdivision. Anything above 10 would become a major subdivision. So they kind of detailed out so a little bit clearly, more in our language, what's considered each thing.
Units or acres?
Units. Oh, well, yeah, yeah. How many lots you're actually making. Mm-hmm. 8.7, one thing that changed, again, and this was on the consultant's recommendation. Currently, you can't do a planned unit development unless you have 4 or more acres. They are suggesting 3. This is just a question I wanted to ask to the committee as well. Should we keep our current standard? Should we lower the requirement? They were also curious, some communities, if it's on a large enough property, would you want to require a PUD? Again, we just wanted to leave that up as a question to the committee to discuss tonight. Moving on to variations. The authorized variations have stayed the same. So typically a variation process is I have to do plan council, take it to EDC, do my public hearing, and it goes to city council. There are a list currently for certain situations that PZC has the authorization to approve outright. These have remained the same. The question was to the committee, are there any additional authorized variations that you would consider having the PZC just recommend outright? Or if I believe, you know, some of the percentages on the change of the variation, if an increase or things like that, or we keep them the same and maybe they're working and we just move along with that. And then 10.8.9, the appeals process. At the moment, it's written that it goes through PZC and they have the final authorization. The consultants have added that this now goes to, they make a recommendation to city council like all their other choices, and then there's criteria added to be reviewed when an appeal comes. Those criteria are not in there right now. It's basically, I don't agree with the zoning administrator, I'm appealing your decision to the PZC, and then they will decide. So this adds a little bit more. The PZC can review the criteria, send it off to city council, and they can make the final determination. Again, this is new, so it was something we kind of wanted to discuss with everybody. And I think that's really it for the presentation. Sorry again for the no graphics there, but yeah, so I'll turn it back over to Chris. You know, we can go through it how we usually go through it, where you kind of go through each section. But I would like to address some of the questions I had in the presentation. So,
Jason said this one's a little more technical. If you want to walk through this one, and don't hesitate to chime in if we walk through and Jason steps over something that you want to come back to, we'll get to it. But I'll have you lead through this one.
Oh, sure. So 10.8.1 is just identifying the administrative authorities. So this just has who's the zoning officer, who's the zoning administrator. It defines the plan council. The plan council is our staff body. So when a developer or somebody comes in with a request, variance, special use, final plat, they will come to us, and then plan council is always their first step. And this is a review by all the needed department heads, so that the petitioner can get all their information, make sure that, you know, Public Works and Police, depending on what they're doing, that they get input from the major departments. It defines Planning and Zoning Commission, and ZBA was taken out because we no longer have a ZBA. Back in 2014, previously, I believe in 2016, we combined Plan Commission and ZBA into Planning and Zoning Commission. So anywhere where it says Plan Commission or ZBA, those are both now one body. So yeah, that's 10.8.1. If anybody had any questions or concerns.
The one question that was out there from the consultant was, it's on page 3. It was the, should additional clarity be provided regarding the when interpretations are the responsibility of ZA versus the PC?
Chris, you turned your mic off. We can't hear you.
You get your mic on that one, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, I'll speak a little louder since we're picking up on one mic in here. It was just the clarification from, I think it was Jackie, on page 3. Any need to clarify that one any further, or is staff comfortable with that language? That was number 5.
Yeah, so that's just stating that the interpretations of the UDO are listened to by the PZC from the decision made from the zoning administrator. I believe that she was a little confused, like we still had a zoning board of appeals versus PC versus the plan commission. So staff did actually get to review this before we sent out the details, so that might be a comment from
prior.
So
sounds good. All right. Anything else on that section?
I don't have anything.
Okay. Again, 10.8.2 goes through the application requirements. This is just language stating what we're going to require when someone fills out an application, what we need. what's considered complete, goes over dormant applications, what happens when you submit and then don't follow through. A lot of this, again, is what we already do. It's just putting it all into one place with all the language in one section. Any questions or concerns on that one? No? Okay. 10A3 is the administrative review. So like I said, this goes through the different types of review that we do. It has a table to show a little bit, at least this is one of the few visual things saying, okay, I have a site plan review, or I have a sign permit, or I have special use, where do I, building permit. So what kind of things, who looks at it, and kind of details out absolutely who looks at it and absolutely who reviews versus the zoning administrator or zoning officer. And again, it just goes through these processes. Like I said, the zoning review, building permit, these are existing processes that we already do. They're just written. A lot of this stuff has been moved all into this chapter from different parts of the code. So did anybody have any questions on the table or actually the administrative exception? Are we okay? It calls for the zoning administrator, if there's a change in 5% or less of a setback, the zoning administrator can approve that change. Same with a 5% increase in a height in a zoning district, that the zoning administrator can approve that change.
That's fine by me.
I was going to say, to put that in perspective, on our front yards, that's a foot and a half. Typical, yeah. Yeah. So I'm accustomed to seeing 10% typically, but it'll range 5 to 10%, so I have no issue with 5%.
So the consultant originally had suggested 10%. Staff in previous situations felt that the city council did not want us to have that great of a discretion, so we requested 5. But if you are okay with 10, we can definitely change it back to 10.
I like 5.
Personally, I prefer a little closer to conformity, okay, unless requested on a grander scope.
Agreed.
That's good.
So everybody's good with 5?
I think the next part, probably want to talk on lot consolidation splits.
Yeah, so like I said, lot consolidation and splits, this is new because typically if it's small enough, as long as you're not circumventing zoning, let's say you just want to consolidate your two lots, you kind of just go through the county and that's their process. But this is really just to detail what's considered a lot consolidation and what would require a final plat in the review process.
Anybody have any thoughts on the lot consolidation splits?
I don't have any.
No.
Okay.
Yeah. And then as I mentioned, the little presentation, temporary use permit, these are all brand new conditions as we're adding temporary uses and things like that to the development standards and permitting them, and just to give us a little more definition on how temporary uses are going to be regulated. So I don't know, there is a list of 8 or 9 different criteria. I don't know if anybody had issues with those or if those look good.
Is requesting insurance on there? I'm skimming this. I missed it the first time through.
I do not believe so. You mean requesting like something like that be bonded or depending on the use?
Yeah, either a bond or something. I don't know.
Yeah,
coming in.
Yeah, that's covered in the subdivision section. 120% bonding for any work that requires public improvements.
All right. So we can skip to 10.8.4 if there's no questions on that. Again, this goes over the different types of requests that can be made. Again, many of these special use variation, PUDs, text amendments, stuff we already do. We kept the review process the same. It's almost always Plan Commission, then it goes to EDC, then it goes to Planning and Zoning Commission, and then City Council. Very similar to what we do now. What was the question? I think the question was on the special use amendment, which is a new process. Did anybody have issues with the level, kind of similar to what we were just talking about, staff discretion on those? It does have criteria for, you know, you can't go against the conditions made by the boards, but if it was something small or actually preserving something, the one that I was thinking about was, what if I present a landscape plan? I must follow it as a condition of the special use, but now one of the shrubs I was using is no longer able to get, but this one can replace it, or something very minor like that. I'm not sure if anybody had any comments or concerns on that one.
It makes sense. I mean, it when we had to go back and repeal that one for the solar site, just to change from a wood fence to a vinyl fence, and it was a big issue because of the fencing in general, but or from vinyl to wood.
Right.
But to have some flexibility is better than being absolutely rigid on that, because it does cover things like landscape, slight changes. I think it's not a bad thing to have that in there.
Right, now would they have to go through another special use application and the entire process if they needed to change it?
Yeah, anything that's written in the ordinance that says you must file the X plan, or you must, you know, something different as like, this must be done by 7 p.m. or things like that, like, you have to follow that. That's a condition of your special use and is so in the ordinance. If there was a very minor change, it would at least give us an opportunity to not make them go through that process. Now, if they wanted to be like, oh, we're moving the buildings over here and we're changing right. our use, yeah, you have to do it again. That's a major change.
Is there going to be any type of time restriction on how long this amended use would be allowed? I guess maybe depending on what the use is going to be.
So typically special uses...
amended of the special use that was already granted.
It would run with the time frame of the special use.
Permit. Okay.
Yes. Because special uses sometimes can have a, you know, this is about 10 years. Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. So whatever in those conditions, it would follow that.
Would, let's say, I don't know if this would be just a temporary solution, but if they said we need just to do this for the next 6 months because we don't, like you said, we don't have the ability to bring these particular landscape shrubs in. So mm-hmm. can we just amend it, use these, and then when they show up, pull them out? And then, you know, you wouldn't have to go through the process of applying for an amendment again?
Yeah, I don't see why that wouldn't be the situation. I guess the one question was, too, is the expiration and lapse of time. Like I said, currently we have 3 years. Consultant recommended that, sometimes other communities have 1 to 2 years on them. Just a general discussion on if anybody would like to keep it 3 years or bring that down.
My recommendation would be 1 year with a 1 year extension at the will of the council.
With the applicants.
I think so too, because we've had cases where some of these didn't get going, and we want to, you know, if we say the special use, you know, we don't want to wait forever,
And I think we give them the 1 year, and if they ask for an extension of 1 year, that's up to the council to decide. I think that would be fair, because then
that would give them two.
It gives them 2 years, and it puts them to the fire a little bit to get things done, because we don't have to grant it as a council.
Right.
So.
Okay.
Good. What happens in 3 years?
Yeah. Moving on to 10.8.6, which is the subdivision, the platting portion of this. The big question was those 3 or less lots is just a consolidation or a split. Anything in between 4 to 10 is considered a minor subdivision, and then anything above 10 would be a major subdivision. The procedures are pretty similar, but I believe there is less less you would have to go through for a minor subdivision. So that was kind of the question as that the consultant wanted to know, is are those numbers good with the committee to at least float out there to start with?
Yeah, I don't have an issue with that breakdown. I wouldn't mind seeing the subdivision of land being public hearing as well.
And that was the other question.
That's the next part of this.
Yep.
Is breaking that up. A consolidation of the
what?
Three or less.
Why has it historically not been a public hearing?
That's all I know. Christy, do you know the reasoning behind not?
Well, for a couple of reasons. State law did not call it out as a type of land use that required a public hearing. If you have land and you meet all of the criteria for a lot, you should be able to subdivide without having to ask your neighbors or get their opinion if you should be able to subdivide. Now, if you're asking for something above and beyond what the code requires, like a smaller lot, some other type of concession, which you would see in a PUD or special use, then that does require some public scrutiny in that sense. Now, we've had public meetings where it is made public. Some communities don't. Some communities leave the authority to subdivide land up to the staff, so engineering, city council, the community development, public works. We do require at least a public meeting.
And I'd be willing to say that the consolidation or the up to three, I have no issue with that. If you want to consolidate or do a split, fine and dandy. And even with the minor, that's up to 10 lots. I'm not as concerned about that. I think if you do go over 10, that would be my preference to have the public hearing for that.
I agree.
10 or greater, is that what you said?
Yes.
So 10 or greater is a public hearing. Anything less than that would not be within them. I guess my question would be, would minor subdivisions, would you still want to come through to a public meeting, or should that just be handled by staff?
Yeah, I don't know why we have to have a public hearing if somebody wanted to split their lot in half.
I would recommend we either make them all public hearings or all public meetings, because you will have that scrutiny of why are you treating me differently, though I am doing what the code says I can do legally by law.
Because
then if the code says legally by law you can do it, I don't think we should have any public hearing. Then it's unnecessary bureaucracy.
Are they still required pursuant to the law to provide notice to the adjoining landowners?
No. So if you have a lot, piece of land, and you're R2, and it's 43,000 square feet, and you want to divide it into two 20,000 square foot lots, you can do that because you meet the criteria of the R2 zoning district.
Okay.
Yeah, you can't divide land to circumvent zoning or other regulations. So you can't divide an R2 lot and just leave a 2,000 square foot lot there and make things like that. It would, like Christy said in that example, if you have an acre and you want to split it into two halves, you know, our R2 is 12,000 square feet, so that's fine, as long as you meet the lot frontages. Dave, I know you're not feeling well, but do you have an opinion on public hearings for final plats?
No, and on that, the splitting of the property too, you know, there's also the Plat Act as well that, you know, you can't circumvent, like you said, and break off a piece of property that's non-compliant with access and things like that too. So there's other criteria too that go along with that. But as far as the additional public hearing, no, I think just the minimum.
If we're trying to streamline people doing developments that are within code, it doesn't make any sense to have a public hearing to add another layer of review. It's unnecessary. The UDO is supposed to streamline our permit process, and this would be contrary to that.
As Christy said, make them all public meetings. Don't
I'd say make none.
So it's either all or none, then.
Public meetings and public hearings are two different things.
Right.
Public meetings we already hold And we already, and that's kind of what's already proposed for minor and major subdivision is, and that's what we do now, is public meetings for those. Public hearing requires notifying people within 500 feet, mailing those, publishing a notice. That's a public hearing. So the question brought on upon the consultant was like, well, you require everything else to have a public hearing. What about,
This is the only one that does not require that going through the development process. Which I get, if you truly conform, there shouldn't be an issue. You know.
Which you have to because it's state law.
Right. And so the only thing, you have to stay within your zoning, you have to meet the criteria of minimum lots. To get to that 10 or more lots, you're typically not going to run into many parcels throughout the city that can do that because of the either minimum lot size or just the criteria for them. I mean, take the industrial parcels out on the west side. There might be contiguous 200-acre tracts. You could subdivide that into 10 acres and have then smaller lots.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But as long as it meets all the criteria, it works. You know, you're not changing zoning. You're not doing anything of the sort. So, yeah, I guess.
Guess if the state law doesn't require it, we don't need to require it either. So.
So then we'll keep it as is.
Okay. Sounds good. Subdivisions. Also, most of the requirements, what needs to be on the final plat, are the same. Brad, our engineer, is still reviewing those. So if he has any changes he'd like to see, those would come forth after that. 10.8.7 plan unit development. Not a ton of changes here. Like I said, it went from 4 to 3. A lot of the stuff is reworded, but very similar to how we're already conducting PUDs. While I haven't had a new PUD come into practice in my 6 years, this could be something that comes up. So the real question is going from 4 acres to 3 acres, a lot of times, so what a PUD really is for is typically for a multi, you know, building development with, you know, different standards, and they're looking for relief. It's a large special use, basically. You put conditions on it, you have an agreement. You know, a lot of times there are some smaller parcels that people want to build on, but, and they're like, oh, could I do a PUD? Because that's the only way I can get 2 buildings on it, because I can't subdivide it, because it's too, and, you know, and it's like, oh, it's only 2 acres, you can't really do that here. So it was just a way to lower the threshold to have a PUD for a specifically unique case. So that was just a question to the committee, should we drop it down to 3 or keep it at 4, or...
How much development can you get on a 3-acre lot?
Christy and Jason, what's your opinion on this, since you deal with it all the time?
Jason, go for it.
Yeah. I mean, personally, we do have some smaller developers that come in and say, I'd like to get 12 townhome units on this, but if there's not enough room to subdivide, it'd be a private drive. So that does happen. But, like, on the other hand, sometimes they come in with something that may not fit there and try and do a PUD, and it may take up more staff time. But in general, the again, because I haven't really had new PUDs come in, we're in a very unique situation that the boom happened, you know, in the early 2000s, and we have all these existing ones to go through. I don't have a problem keeping it at 4 and honestly dropping it down to 3 on a, you know, professional level. I don't think it will change that much, other than give maybe some other developers with smaller ideas a little more opportunity.
Well, yeah. More opportunity for less review. Christy, is that what you're going to say?
Well, I was just going to reflect on the last true PUD we did, and that was for Marker Subdivision, the Heartland Meadows.
Mm-hmm.
And while it was a larger piece, it did require a lot of finessing in regards to the smaller lot size, comparing densities. I mean, the same level of work goes into it, regardless if it goes through the meeting processes. I'd rather keep it the way it is than to do something different. But I'm open.
She wants four. I'm fine with four.
Keep it the way it is with lot size, the acres, or?
That's what I would say, 4 acres.
Yes.
From the professional side of things, what we're going to see is you're going to try to squeeze too much into a piece of property that really shouldn't have it, probably.
Yeah. I mean, and that's the other side of it as well, right? We want to try and create a UDO that increases outright development.
Yeah.
We don't really want a lot of PUDs because they cause issues and everybody has different regulations in the same city and it can, yeah, so.
Which goes to your next part is, do you have the automatic PUD on the larger developments?
And that was specifically for a question from consultant. Mm-hmm. If you want, again, a personal appearance, I would say no, because the whole point is
I
would love for someone to buy 40 acres using this UDO, subdivide it accordingly, rezone it, and move on.
Right, yeah.
That's what I think the goal and purpose of trying to get these written in a way that improves that. So that's my opinion. If you guys, you know, it's one of those, it gives more control to city council.
So no automatic PUD. Would that be a consensus, or anybody feel strongly about making it an automatic PUD at the larger scale?
I'm debating with myself and you guys in my head.
I mean, it makes sense, like Jason said. We're trying to get the UDO. That would be the point, is to try to keep it within the UDO.
In all likelihood as well, if you're getting 60 acres or whatever, mm-hmm. and you're going to do a master plan and it doesn't meet the UDO, you're probably coming in for a PUD, whether mm-hmm. it's required or not.
Right. But I would rather it be a petitioner requested
right.
than us automatically saying it has to be.
I would agree. I'd rather be an option.
Okay.
All right. And then moving on to variations, very similarly, again, this is public hearing process, plan council, EDC, PZC public hearing, and then city council. The one question I had was the authorized variations are what we have now. The one in my time here that I've seen many times is the government taking. I think that one definitely needs to stay in. It's just, especially for when 34 and 47 expanded, and it was like, oh, I have to move this. And I need a variation now because you guys have built a sound wall here. It just lessens the time that those people are hardened. Those are the ones we come up with the most. That was just a question actually from me as a staff member, seeing is there any other flexibility? You know, we have that administrative review for just outright, you know, some bulk regulation stuff. Is there anything else we want to give PZC control over that doesn't really need to go to city council? And you don't have to come off the top of your head, but it's just something to think about.
With some of those variations, the authorized ones,
mm-hmm.
when we went through some of the bulk regulations and some of the authorities that were in there that allow reductions in, say, parking, those kind of things, any conflicts with those, or is there, would we see any issues with some of those, with what we've put into the regulations elsewhere to here?
Because those are 5% changes, these authorized ones are typically a little bit more, but not mm-hmm. a crazy amount. So most of them are 25% changes in a yard setback, right? Where PZC has the authority, then we don't have to travel through another month to the next city council meeting. The 5% really kind of, like we said, reduces some, you know, a foot and a half, whereas if, you know, you have 5 or 6 feet, you still have to go through the variation process, but at least it reduces it down to a smaller time frame. It's trying to get smaller, it's smaller variation requests to be a less lengthy process.
Yeah, I just want to make sure that we don't have a potential conflict between the two where we're granting some exceptions elsewhere in terms of what they're giving in this one.
Yeah, and we can make a note to the consultant too to run through to make sure, you know, go through these 7 or 8 things, yeah. Make sure we didn't exempt it somewhere else.
You're right, because without having the what we've worked through elsewhere, don't necessarily have that off the top of my head.
Same.
Okay.
And then moving on to appeals, and this one, while rare, does happen. It was 2018 or 2019, a sign was put up, the staff's interpretation of the code said it shouldn't be permitted. They appealed that to the Planning and Zoning Commission, and it ended up, they were allowed to keep their sign, and we amended the code to clarify that appeal. So this, again, is option if you come in and you get denied a permit, or you get denied, you know, your site plan review didn't pass, and you're like, well, that's not how I read it, or it gives them an option to appeal your decision to a group, and it gives you that judicial process to try and make sure you're heard. And like I said, the biggest change here is now it goes to City Council. Do we want to keep it at a PZC level and not burden City Council with another thing to review, or should we pull it back to have, should we pull it back to have PZC, or suggest to go to City Council now? Those are the two options.
I don't think it needs to go to City Council.
There's certain ones that I could see going to City Council, but the way I see it is, if the Plan Commission has done their job and made the recommendation, it's a perfunctory approval at the council.
Right.
So, to that point, PZC does their job. It should be an informational to the City Council.
Which it is.
It is now.
Yeah.
So, do we need that authority? I don't think so. I mean, let them keep the appeal. That's why they're there.
Something else we can put on consent agenda for Jim.
I mean, honestly, if it comes through... change the authority where the PZC automatically places it on consent. No, so we're in agreement to keep it as PZC for approval of the appeal.
And when's the last time someone actually, you said the sign, was it four years ago?
Yeah, I've been here 6 years, I believe, in 2018 or 19.
Just one.
There was one sign.
Yeah. Well, then, it's not going to burden the council agenda.
It'll never get up there.
Well, you never know. Now that we're changing the entire code, you never know what we're going to run into. So,
maybe we'll revisit.
10.8.10 is text amendments. The consultant removed some redundancies in this one, but this is just like when we want to change the code. It can be either it's typically staff-driven or at least a request from somebody to change the code. But again, this is a public hearing process. If it's staff recommended, it's typically no plan council goes EDC, but if it is requested from someone else, it would go through a plan council.
And could staff notify us when some of these setbacks and stuff are changed so we can see like how many come through and so like a report?
Typically, you know, in January, February, Christy and I will do a year in review where we tend to give out the variances, the text amendments, the things that came through and how often they did. We actually have, you know, like 10 years of data on that now. We gave it to the consultant to see which things come up the most to give them an idea of what needed to be changed. We tend to do that year in review for PZC as well.
Do you post that for the public access?
It's typically, it's published as well on our website.
Yeah.
And the same as map amendments, that's a rezone. It's called a map amendment because you're amending the actual zoning map. This process has stayed the same. I don't know if anybody had any changes or things that they wanted to do for a rezone. And 10812 is annexations. This also has mostly stayed the same. Actually, they crossed out public notice. Annexation goes to the city council. I don't know why they got rid of the... Yeah, this one needs to be revised. Annexations, it should state that it goes to city council and is a public hearing at the city council.
And as a courtesy, should we notify Larry Nelson?
Yeah. Our public notice process requires the local media.
Right.
Yeah, because an annexation typically goes through just city council.
Mm-hmm.
And annexation amendments, which
right,
are...
the annexation is not the purview of the planning...
Correct.
PCC. It is only...
Now, if they annex and then rezone and do, you know, the that, annexation itself is straight to a city council matter. And that needs to be written there, clearly. And finally, if you noticed at the end, house numbering, staff felt this was out of place. This is actually being moved to the development standards.
Absolutely.
And then Brad is reviewing this as well, as EEI is the one who does our numbering and follows those things. So that will be in Chapter 3 when it's all said and done.
Right, because I was going to ask about that.
Yeah, we kind of got to it. I was like, this seems like this shouldn't be here. It's not a process, really. So.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And that's it.
Sounds good. I think the only thing you had mentioned, Jason, was that at some point you might add some flowcharts in terms of how these work to follow along with some of the applications that we have, so you can visually see some of the process of how things move through. That would be...
Yeah, I was mentioning to Chris in our our applications, we have timelines and arrows pointing to your meetings that you're going to have to go to. So we're going to ask the consultants to kind of add maybe some graphics in on special, you know, just to show you the four meetings you go to. Won't have a time frame or anything on it, but it'll at least show you the process visually.
I think I asked this when we first got started, but when this is all done and online, people who are going through this, you'll have links to the documents that they're going to need to submit for all of this too, right?
Yeah, so that's part of the smart code section,
yeah,
which HL is working with Encode Plus, which is who we retained to do it. And we actually, a month or so ago, went through some of the newer features they have and some of the things they can do, but there's a lot of direct links. You hover over it, do you want this? And then you click, you know, take me to the application, and it'll load up in a separate window. Okay. Or, I don't know that definition, you hover and it gives it to you. So there's a lot more interactivity, and they do now where they tag them to where you're just like, if I'm in office and you hit that, not only will it bring up, you know, you can put in an address and it'll bring up, okay, well, here are all the regulations for an office building. Oh, and here's the procedure because you're looking at this lot. You know, and those kinds of things.
My selfish request, Jason, is that where it says permit fees anywhere in the code, you can click it and it will actually take you to the permit fees, and I will die a happy man.
All right. I think we can... So the fees aren't covered in the UDO, but there's definitely a way we can
link
a PDF of the... or to the website, yes.
And I'm going to suggest the city be able to take automatic payments online when you click on them. So you can find the fees and pay them right then and there.
That is a great idea.
And this is...
Amen. We're trying to do that.
Applications submitted online digitally with digital payments, so you mm-hmm. can put all your information. I mean, make it simple for the public to do digital submittals.
That would be ideal.
Everything.
Yes.
I mean, the circuit clerk is all e-filing right now.
Yeah. You don't have to bring a check to anybody.
Nope.
You just
take it right out of my account.
Mm-hmm.
As soon as I file it here, it's
The holdup right now is our finance module does not speak to our building and zoning processes. So when we do the ERP, which is something that the city council is reviewing, we'll be able to do all of that seamlessly online.
Yes.
That's the ERP system.
Yep.
Where we can make it more convenient.
Beautiful. That's a big piece of it, and it's being pushed through. Slowly, but it's going. Okay.
Change is always slow.
Anybody else have any other questions or comments?
So next meeting, I've already talked to Hustle Levine because they want to be here for the next one, as we're hitting near the end. They stated September 29th. They're available. They've penciled us in. They don't have anything in the beginning of September, so it got pushed a little bit. But that would most likely be a review of 7 and 8, now that because at the end of August, we've asked staff, and Christy and I have reviewed Chapter 8. Now the committee has. We're looking for legal and engineering and some other people to review this. We'll give them all to those at the end of August so they can update by the end of September. Mm-hmm. If they have a preliminary Chapter 2, which is definitions, we can go through that as well, since 7 and 8 would be a re-review of these chapters. So,
yeah, if we can do that, it doesn't conflict with any other city meeting. So if that one works for the 29th?
For quorum purposes, I'll be out of town.
Okay. Appreciate that.
I can make it.
I'll have to check my calendar. Yeah. It's on my desk.
Yeah, I just wanted to float that out there since we had already discussed it, and Jackie said she was available that day. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because I know September is a busy month.
Mm-hmm.
So let's see. If that does work, that'd be great. If not, if we don't get a quorum, we'll do something else.
Yep. If something happens, then staff can bring the redone 7 and 8 beforehand, and maybe mm-hmm. they'll come out and we'll do an October meeting. But
yeah.
We're trying to keep our foot on the pedal. So
makes sense.
So close to the end.
Yes.
We're getting there.
All right. Any other questions or comments?
I have none.
Good. We're under an hour today. Thank you very much.
Yay.
Jeremy.
Speed. Chapter. Not like last week. Or last month.